Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Before we talk about squats, one thing that I do want to really point out is the connection from our feet all the way up. So we're going to talk about the different variations, right? But it's so important to actually be able to feel this in your body. And the greatest thing that you can do for yourself if you're going to start squatting better is to have better access to your feet. So this means wearing more barefoot shoes. And I know when I first started lifting this, the common thing was Converse. I would hear, oh, well, Converse are flat, so it's really good for squatting. However, Converse still squish your toes and it doesn't give you that full access to really feel, contract your feet and get the whole chain of muscles up your body working as you want to with squatting. So this is where Vivo barefoot shoes can come in so handy. It has the space for your toes, and this isn't just a wide toe box because that's usually a little bit lower, but actually the space and the formation of your foot right at your toes. So it is so incredibly important to wear a more barefoot shoe when you're starting to squat so that you feel all of these different things that we're going to talk about. And if you haven't gotten your Vivo barefoot shoes, remember that we have a 15% discount code if you use TOB15. There's been a code change. Use code OPTIMAL now at checkout to get that 15% off. The code is OPTIMAL. Now, the cool thing that Vivo is also doing, if you want to go check this out, we'll link it below as well, but they have a foot assessment tool. So if you go to vivobarefoot.com/foot-assessment-tool, you actually are able to go assess your foot. And Dom and I have gone through this process ourselves and kind of seen what they walk you through. And it's really just simple, easy, and super cool to understand why you might need this shoe and how it's going to help your body. So again, if you want to start squatting, lifting, walking well, feeling your feet, and actually making that connection from your foot all the way up into our body, because it's going to have an effect, grab yourself some Vivo barefoot shoes and don't forget to use TOB15 at checkout.
So today we're diving in a little more on squats and what different type of variations of squats there are, why squatting in general can be beneficial to do as a part of your routine, and really just the benefits of different styles of squats. And if you're watching on YouTube, we're going to actually try to demo some of this. Mm-hmm. So it could be good to, if you're listening and like, hey, what are they talking about? Head over and check out the YouTube video of this podcast.
Yeah, and we're going to be demoing with our PRX equipment, which is pretty dang dope, especially if you want to build in like your garage style gym without taking up much space at all.
Yeah, we saw this in a friend's gym and he basically had one stall of a garage that he was using, but the way that everything folded up into the wall or stored on the wall, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the setup behind us. It's so clean looking. And if you're not looking for a massive rack, they have dumbbells, they have slam balls, kettlebells, boxes, like everything.
Everything cardio you can equipment. Need.
So anything you're looking for, and a lot of versions of it, they have like the space-saving style. So
yeah, exactly. That, I mean, it looked so perfect in their gym where they only had the two-stall garage, but they had a car pulled in still, and he had so much equipment, and it was so efficient, and a sauna. Like, it was all so efficiently placed, and that's what you could do with PRX, which is pretty cool. So we'll drop the link in show notes so you guys can go check that out either now or later, just to see what they have available. Highly, highly recommend.
Now then later? Is that a candy bar? Now and then? Now then. I don't know. I got a flashback of like a candy bar that I used to enjoy.
Never heard of that one.
No? Now then later? Someone else check me on that. Okay, so squats. Which squat is best? Why is it beneficial to squat? Why should we be squatting?
I mean, it's in everyday life. It is literally... And this is what we call ADLs, right? Yes. Activities of daily living.
Yes. It's been a while since I've written that in a note.
I know. But it truly is something that is a part of life. It's really hard to avoid squatting, right? You know, when you have to avoid it, like, ooh, what can I grab onto to help me? Or how can I maneuver my foot somehow to pick this thing up? And it's a part of life. And so the more we avoid it, the more problems we actually end up like creating within our body.
And people take it for granted, just the whole like getting up off a toilet. Like, it's heartbreaking how many people I've worked with that like that's their goal later in life. It's just like, I just want to be able to get up off the toilet on my own, yeah. have a little bit of privacy when I'm going to the bathroom. So it's that thing that as people age, we see them being able to do it less and less. And that's really a determinant of like how much longer I'm going to live. So, you know, sitting to standing or squatting is essential to life.
Yeah.
You know?
It's going to help improve not only your strength too, the more that you do it, but also your mobility. And that's the thing too about squats. And we'll talk about this, but you know, I think we've been taught a very poor mechanical way of squatting to avoid knee pain. And mm-hmm. that's where this big, huge, you know, oh, just stick your butt out and
sit
squat
back
into your hips and don't let your knees pass your toes. Can your toes lift off the floor? Like, these are all the cues as a Pilates instructor I used to use. And even going through PT school, I used to, you know, use some of these. And it's just crazy how we're avoiding putting our joints in these positions that are so pertinent to life. We have to get our knees bending over our toes and our ankles bending, our hips bending. It's essential into life. So that's what squats bring you.
Because even in those versions of the squats, when you sit your hips back, your knee is going to come over the foot or the ankle to some degree. And so just like knowing that, okay, squats help me work on my ankle mobility. They're going to help me work on my hip mobility. Squats are very good, just axial loaders, or what we call like something that's going to load us basically head to toe, especially if you're doing a variation where you're holding a weight like a front squat in front of you or back squat on your back. It's loading you all the way through your spine, through your hips, down through your legs. So it's really putting a lot of pressure and weight through our bone structure, and it can be very good for bone density. Mm-hmm. And just in general, squatting is great for building tendon and muscle strength and being able to help us keep that strong and able as we get older in life.
I had a professor in undergrad who would say, what's the best core exercise? Getting a weight on your back or your front and actually lifting it.
Yeah.
Like he was very bodybuilder, I would say. He was older and he was more in that mindset, but he was like, I've never done any core related exercise. And I've worked with people who have six packs, eight packs, whatever, because they load their spine.
Yeah.
And it's so huge. And even me, as you know, I do have scoliosis. I've talked about this numerous times, and I load my spine. And it's so ridiculous when I've gotten DMs or people reaching out who've said, well, my clinician told me never to load my spine, so I can't lift weights. And I'm thinking, you're loading the spine the moment you stand up. Are you going to hold a baby? Are you going to hold a dog? Are you going to hold something in life?
Are you going to carry groceries? Are you going to
anything? You're loading your spine. So we get to actually practice that and exercise that in life.
And the more that you avoid those types of things, the more you're setting yourself up for failure when you eventually will need to do something in life. Like, you are going to need to pick something up. You are going to need to, at some point in life, grab something that might be heavier than you're used to. And if you're not training that, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up somewhere in the kinetic chain of your body. Something's going to fail. And so squatting, I mean, personally, I love squatting. Squatting growing up was always my favorite lift. I was like, oh, leg day. Great. I love it. Because I don't know. I was always fairly strong with my leg lifts. But little did I know, I was really just holding myself down in a bias of mine, which was back squat, specifically more of like a low bar back squat. Because things that I have talked about before is I have very limited ankle range of motion. I rely a lot on my low back extension. I have very limited upper back extension or thoracic extension, all things that like are reasons why I would want to bias into a low bar back squat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. But we've also talked about we've gone into our own personal stories and our own personal journeys, which I recommend going back and listening to. But Dom talked about how much weight you used to lift. Like, how much was your max back squat in college?
I mean, I back squatted 585 pounds, which, again, like, I don't even feel confident or comfortable saying that anymore because I just don't, I wasn't a fan of how I did it and the form that I used. And I would just be using such a wide base back squat that I know I was really compensating in a lot of ways that probably weren't the healthiest.
Yeah.
So now I feel a lot more strong and explosive and powerful squatting 315 or 400 pounds, mm-hmm. but doing it in a way that I know I'm biomechanically a lot more sound and stable throughout my whole kinetic chain.
Yeah. I remember when I was first, so coming from my background, I was a gymnast. So, well, I didn't touch weights. You know, everything we did was very upright posture and perfect stance and trying to just, I don't know, keep this body positioning that wasn't always conducive to regular life, I would say. And then I got into squatting and Pilates. I really geared into Pilates because a lot of it reminded me so much of gymnastics, conditioning and training that we would do. And again, I'm then told, you know, no knees over toes and hips back. And I still will go to Pilates classes sometimes and they're like, oh, your knee's going too far over your ankle. Like, it's not even to my toe and it's too far over my ankle. And I'm not generalizing Pilates, okay? But some classes tend to go back to this old theory, this old rhetoric.
Robotic way of moving.
Yeah, and that's what I believed even going into back squats. Like, oh, don't let your knees pass your toes. So imagine how much I was loading my back every time.
Well, and that's again, like, you kind of say like, oh, I'm not generalizing Pilates. Like, these rules also don't have to be seen as bad things. Like, no. They can give us a great stable base to start from and a great safe place for our knees to, you know, be during squats or bridges or whatever the movement is. But then again, like, we have to know that there's a spectrum that we can train within and our knees are going to go over our toes throughout life. And we are going to bring our chest forward when we squat at certain times. And so, therefore, we must train that.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about, you know, some different squat types. And there's so many variations. 100% we're not going to touch on all of them, okay? We're going to touch on some of the big ones, the basics ones, some you've probably seen on YouTube or social media or you've seen in the gym, okay? We're going to talk about the big heavy hitters. But before we even get to that, let's talk about squat stance. I mean, I think that's a very also controversial topic a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear different things from different physical therapists or trainers. So I want a preference with that. Okay. You're listening to the Optimal Body Podcast because we don't believe there's one optimal way to do anything. It's what optimal means within your own body and with the intention in which you're trying to create or the goal that you're trying to do. So it depends on squat stance. However, you know, I like to look at it as like we can talk about a squat stance that is natural to your hips and your anatomy, and a squat stance that is maybe more preferred for the exercise intention.
Absolutely. And I think that we talk a little bit about how do you find your ideal squat stance, and there's a few ways to do this. I mean, now that we're thinking about it, it's hard to say without thinking, just like, how would you just naturally go to sit down in a chair? Usually, your body is going to put your legs a certain distance apart and sit back because that's what's comfortable for you. One thing that I know Jen loves to do is say, just jump quick in the air and land on the ground. And however far apart your feet are, however they're tilting, you know, in and out, if they're pointing straight forward or if they're slightly out to the side, your body's pretty intuitive and it's generally going to find a good spot for you based on your limb length, based on some internal anatomy, where your feet should land to be able to squat effectively.
Yeah. I would say, and I do love that one a lot because I go to it. I will, you know, admit the limitation of that is like, is that your body's natural way of like, oh, this is what I should be doing or compensating
or this is what I've learned,
you know? Yeah. So it's like, there's limitations in that. The other one is like, you can lay down on your back and kind of bring your knee up toward your chest. And does it start to go at an angle? And where do you feel most comfortable, most natural? And usually, you know, you'll start to bring your knee up out to the side a little bit. Maybe your foot comes out and you're like, oh, that's a good position. But then how do I take this exact laying on my back and now stand and say, oh, that's exactly where it was? You know, so it's like, all of these are just guesstimates. Sometimes you could just like walk your feet out and like kind of without looking, just close your eyes and go back and forth for a while, wherever your feet and legs comfortably land. Like, okay, good. That's where my body feels comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, again, kind of like you said, all of these can have limitations based on where our bodies may have some restrictions. You know, I have ankle mobility restrictions, so therefore I don't tend to want to be super narrow when I squat, because then I feel like I'm going to fall backwards because my ankles don't let me get low in a narrow squat. And this is where, in kind of my daily routine, I love to do squats in the morning. And what I do is I do 4 or 5 sets, all with different bases. I have a really wide squat, and I make sure that I'm focusing on keeping my knees out and not letting them come inside of my feet as I'm squatting. And then I'll go a little more narrow. And then I'll get to the point where I almost have my heels together. And how low can I get in that? How far can I push my ankles into that dorsiflexion and push my knees out over towards my, you know, past my toes to get into that super narrow squat? Because, and it's kind of just my way of helping myself say, like, okay, I know where my bias is. How can I continue to try and train myself where I know I'm not strong? Yeah.
But I think being aware of your limitations is great. That's why it doesn't have to be narrow. It doesn't have to be toes facing forward. I've also heard in some lifts and the way that some of them are taught, you want your toes more forward because when you squeeze and activate through the glutes, you're not going to have as much range to have to pull from. You're going to have to, you kind of lock into this good spot, quote unquote good, you know, whatever that means, rather than having your feet already a little bit out and then having to rotate more from there. So I think, you know, you have to keep asking the question, but why? And if someone is telling you, nope, toes have to be forward, and you're feeling some knee tightness, if you're feeling like my hip is pinching, what can I do differently that will reduce those sensations? And it is okay to experiment, to play around, and to find something that works for you, especially if you're not out here trying to win competitions. You're just trying to be healthy.
Yeah. And so with that, let's dive into different types of squats. And I think just to simplify, if I were to say, like, there are three categories or three main categories, it has a lot to do with where the weight is, if we're using weight. So if you're using a load like on your back squat, great. I guess not even three categories, but like, where is the weight? And it's this spectrum of, are we having the weight on our back? Because we're going to talk a little bit about a low bar back squat, a high bar back squat, and a front squat. And where that weight goes is going to really bias what our body does in order to squat up and down. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of variations of squats where we're changing the base of support. Like if we do an unbalanced staggered stance, different split squats, and that's going to change up a lot of what our body needs to do that squat effectively.
Yeah. And obviously we do want to note, you know, we know that we each have different lengths of the long bone in our leg, what's called our femur. We know that we have different structures in our hips and the way that some are rotated a little bit forward, some are rotated a little bit back. Our bones are resting inside the socket, just a little bit different angles. And all of this contributes to a squat that feels better for your individual body. So there's also within what we're going to talk about for each of these, it's going to change based on your anatomy and your body's natural tendency into some of these.
Yeah. So back squat.
Yeah.
What is good? What's the good word about back squat?
The good word about back squat. I think a lot of people, this is when you think of lifting, with a barbell especially, I think this is like one of the first lifts that people tend to think about. And I know when social media was especially becoming popular and, you know, it's grow your glutes, everyone's doing back squats. I mean, maybe, but let's talk about the differences. So we have high bar back squat, we have low bar back squat. So
yeah, so a low bar back squat is the bar sitting lower on your back. It's not on top of your traps. The bar is like kind of lower on the back of your traps. So what this is going to cause you to do when you squat is it's going to make you like bring your trunk further forward, right? And also because of that, you're getting less ankle range of motion, right? It tends to be maybe a wider stance versus a more narrow stance. It's going to bias you more into having glute activation
Because you're forward folding.
Yeah, because you're forward folding. So your glutes need to work to prevent that and control that trunk translation forward. Your back, your spinal erectors, you know, especially in your low back, are going to be working a lot, and your upper back for that matter. So it's really causing you to hinge more at the hips and keep that those knees kind of in that vertical position over the ankles with less forward translation.
Yeah, and the more that we bend at the hips, the more that you're going to get more glute activation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to realize that when we're doing a squat, and this is what also bothered me when everyone's like, oh, you want to grow the glutes, like do squats. You're not going to just grow your glutes, because as we're squatting, we're bending our legs. So mm-hmm. we're also getting quads. We're also getting our core. We're getting our back working. We're getting our hamstrings. It's a lot of our full body kind of working together. Just some of these are going to bias a little bit more. So can low bar bias a little bit more into your glutes? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
because you're getting more of that hip flexion. So it's going to stretch those glutes around in a greater depth. However, if you have back pain, if you've someone who've struggled with your back and you don't have a strong back to be able to handle the load that it's going to take,
yeah.
probably not the best for you.
Yeah. And so low bar back squat was, that was what I mentioned earlier. Like I really liked to do a low bar back mm-hmm. squat. But one of the things I mentioned is it required me to have such a wide stance, mm-hmm. right? And I think that when people tend to say like, oh, I feel a lot more comfortable with a wide stance, then the question is, okay, well, then are we maybe putting too much pressure different areas that we might not want it? Like the insides of both my knees took a lot of what I would say punishment mm-hmm. from the way that I squatted. And so if you are electing to use a wide stance, then are we keeping those knees out
Do we have
over
good
the
hip
ankles?
Range of
Do
motion?
We have good hip range of motion? Are we getting yeah. that external rotation at the hips? Do our adductors have enough functional range to keep our knees out there? Or are we just using that wide stance because we're compensating for that ankle range of motion or, you know, any restrictions we might have elsewhere? So that's something to really pay attention to. If I have a wide stance, are my knees kind of swimming inward when I'm under load?
Mm-hmm.
Which again, like it's always something to be aware of. And when we're doing things under load, if our body doesn't feel like it's under control, then we might be setting ourselves up for injury.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another controversial topic I've seen so many talk about, like, should the knees come in as you're doing a loaded squat? And, you know, it depends. It always depends, but it's what your training and what your body is set up for. If you know that your body has to, like, in order to get up, your knees have to come in toward each other, and that's the only thing that you're able to do, then you don't have good control.
Yeah.
We should be able to control our knees staying out, especially as you're starting squatting.
I was going to say, I think a lot of the controversy comes when people are talking about like high level.
Exactly.
Like that's, there's like, oh no, you can let your knees swim in. That actually creates more of a torque or gives you a better like stretch action. I'm just like, well, that's because you're trained in it. If somebody is untrained and under load and their knees swim in, they're not controlling that.
Yes.
They're not doing it because they're trying to push their max squat up.
Exactly.
So again, there's a difference between somebody who trains back squat and is trying to push for max lifts versus somebody who's trying to train squat for function.
I mean, that's everything. And I think that's the same with when do you use a belt for squatting, right?
Yeah.
When you have control. A belt isn't going to do it for you. You have to be able to control your trunk and your core under load before getting a belt. If you're only going to a belt because you have no control, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah,
that's
I
what
never
I'm
liked
say.
Lifting with belts because I kind of felt that same way. I'm just like, I feel like it numbs up what I'm doing a lot more. Like I can't tell if I'm supporting myself versus just relying on squeezing the air out of myself before I throw 500 pounds on my back.
But
like
you were trying to go for the max, right?
But I still never used a belt.
Wow.
Rarely. You know, I would rarely put a belt on because I was like, no, I'll just do this the old farm way. Like I'm putting a yoke on. And moving from low bar back squat, like the next step is, okay, people will have a high bar back squat. What's different about high bar back squat?
So it's going to sit, well, I think people get confused on this as well. It's not in the neck. It is actually on your upper traps. So if you were to kind of like shrug your shoulders just a little bit, or think about rounding your shoulder blades a little bit further forward, you might feel your upper traps kind of pop up. That's where the high bar is resting. So it's still in muscle. It's not on bone. Okay.
Which can still be uncomfortable.
It can be uncomfortable when you're starting. But remember, anytime you put padding or you add something to bring comfort, we're also changing the pressure of where that bar is placed. So when you're getting started, use no weight on the bar. Feel like you can, where your upper traps are, use a coach. Get started with a trainer. Get started with someone who's going to help you, like, oh, these are your traps. This is muscle. This is bone. Put it on muscle. Okay to get started that way, right? But so a high bar back squat is going to be higher up onto those upper traps. And it's going to require a lot more ankle range of motion and a lot more knee range of motion. So it is going to naturally bias a little bit more into your quads. You're still going to get glutes, but again, it's going to be a little bit more quad dominant than a low bar.
Yeah. And this is kind of where we're moving down this spectrum towards what would then be your front squat, which as the weight comes more forward, okay, now our torso is going to be a lot more upright. We're going to need maybe even more ankle range of motion to get the knees forward over the ankles. Our core, anterior core, is going to activate a lot more versus the back, like we were seeing in the low bar back squat. And it's going to be a lot more direct axial loading through the spine, where our spine's a lot more vertical. So we're not getting as much of that shear force, where if we're doing a low bar back squat, our spine's kind of at that diagonal and you're going to get shear force coming forward, which again, isn't a bad thing. A lot of people think that that's like an awful thing, the shear forces we put on our back in a low bar back squat, but you'll just see less of that in a front squat.
Yeah. And then we go into a safety bar, and some people might have seen this. So this is where you have like the handles that come out in front of you. So it acts almost like that front squat position, but your weight is still a little bit further back and a little bit balanced. And this is really, really great if you have access to a gym and you have access to the safety bar. If you're just getting started in squats, so you're still more of like a beginner, or you're rehabbing from injury, because the way that it disperses the weight, it's not too much on your back, it's not too much on your knees, you're a little bit more upright, and your whole body's kind of a little bit more balanced and working together under this load.
And it's great for people with shoulder restrictions and range of motion. A lot of people who, if you have shoulder or wrist or any upper extremity issues, like getting into that position with your arms back on
That's
the bar
hard.
Can be really intense on your shoulders or front squat. A lot of people might have issues with wrist, different variations of front squat. So that's kind of that spectrum. Like, where's the weight? How far is our trunk kind of translating forward versus us using our ankles to get our body to translate forward over our feet being our base of support? And low bar back squat, we're using a lot more of that hip bias versus a front squat using a lot more of that quad bias.
And all of this, again, changes just a little bit depending on your ankle mobility, your hip mobility, your core stability and support, how much you can control through your core. So it all ends up changing just a little bit. And what shoes are you wearing? If you are going to be squatting and your intention is depth, you might need a little bit of support. So that's where people wear lifting shoes and they have a little bit of a heel lift in order to help gain depth. Know that that's going to put a little bit more force onto the knee. So if you're having knee issues, do you want to wear lifting shoes? Maybe you want to be flat and wear Vivo barefoot shoes.
Oh, yeah. And that's like, I never really owned my own lifters, but I would try other people's lifters on. I'm like, this is great because I didn't have the ankle range of motion and it really helped me out to be able to put more load into the quads, which was fine with me. I didn't really have knee pain. It was my ankle mobility that was the issue. So I feel like coming into this episode, there's like so many topics we could just do an entire podcast on. Like, should I wear lifters? That could be an entire podcast on what lifters are doing for you. And again, like, now that I'm in a place where I'm not training my top end squat, I want to know how I can squat with my feet flat on the ground.
Yeah.
I do most of my workouts barefoot, not even wearing Vivos. You know, I just want to be barefoot, want to feel the ground, want to know where am I biasing? When do my heels want to come off the ground? How much can I push into my ankle range of motion? So, you know, my biggest message, because a lot of people are like, oh, what squat is best for me? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it depends. It always depends, which is the PT answer that we're going to give to most questions. But it's always going to depend. If, like Jen was saying, do you have back pain? If you're having back pain, okay, maybe not a low bar back squat. You know, maybe we're going to do more of a goblet squat, something with the weight in front where you can focus on good core stability, loading, but you're not going to aggravate what's going on in the back.
Yeah. And if you're practicing getting your knees over your toes a little bit more, getting into ankle range of motion a little bit more, putting more demand on those quads, because that's not bad. That's good. And you know that you've been someone who's been avoiding knee flexion. You know you grew up in the time where it's like, never let your knees pass your toes, always keep your hips back and stick your booty out. If you know that that's been you, it's okay to, you know, get a little lift on under those heels and start getting those knees to go forward. Start training a more upright position. That's why I love a goblet squat and retraining this. I mean, this is even working with my mom a lot. I'm retraining how she's moving in her squat because she's got great range of motion, but she stops her squat so high because that's how she's been trained. Even if her heels are lifted, and I see this all the time. I see this with friends even, that even if their heels are lifted, which the intention then is you can go down. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people will still stop their squat because my butt is supposed to be out really far and my knees are not supposed to be forward. What if we stopped doing that and we kept our chest up really high, really high, and you just let your knees go straight over? What yeah. would happen if you started doing that? And it's going to feel really scary at first if you've never done that. Mm. But getting your knees to get strong in getting into their full range and putting more demand on your quads is so shouldn't be avoided.
Yeah, it's going to help build great resiliency in the body and great ability to be ready for whatever the world throws at you. However, you need to bend down and pick something up. If you're stepping back and bending down, oh, hey, maybe it'd be great to train split squats or some sort of, you know, Bulgarian squat where I am more in a single leg position, mm-hmm. but still focusing on loading the quad. Mm-hmm. So my message is generally find out what your tendencies are, learn how to work on the things that you're not as great at so that you can be ready for what the world throws at you.
Yeah. And if you are having like a little bit more back pain, maybe a low bar back squat isn't going to be your thing right now. Maybe not even a high bar. Maybe you need more front squats. Maybe you need more safety bar lifts. You know, think about what it's doing to your body, because know that all of these squats are still going to recruit all of these muscles. Hopefully you learned a little bit more. You know, when we go into the Gen Health platform, we're going to start adding more lifts. And I'm so excited to be able to introduce this in a safe way, that especially if you've had pain, you're recovering from pain, you want to understand lifts a little bit better. Maybe you already do them, but what is most effective for what you have going on? We'll be dropping that into programs and plans a lot more in the Gen Health platform, which you can now go sign up for. And I'm so excited. We're offering a discount for the year. So it's going to be such an incredible way for people to continue to explore, learn their bodies, have a guided plan to be able to follow throughout and be pinpointed exactly for what your individual needs are. So go check out gen.health and start exploring the platform.